Hello, everybody. Welcome to Isn't This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously, but who I hear has a story about gas station bananas today.
This always breaks up the flow. I'm ready to banter, and you're like, hang on. It's a bitch to cut the banter back in after the intro. Let me do the intro real quick.
Yeah.
And it breaks the whole flow.
Should we start over again?
Yeah, I'm gonna banter, and then you do the intro a second time.
Yeah.
And then when Jeremy quits, maybe he'll find a podcast that loves him.
Everyone, welcome to the final episode of Is This a Ghost? Because we're not doing this without Jeremy.
I knew we wouldn't get past three seasons. None of the greats do.
We're on top. We're Michael Jordaning this.
Mm-hmm. Santa Clarita Diet, three seasons. Done.
Man, that's a shame too, because
isn't
that they had at least one more good season in them.
Absolutely. I like that they could kind of tell they were going to get canceled, and so they left it on the world's biggest cliffhanger just as a big fuck you to Netflix.
Very angry. Makes me very angry. All right, let's talk about something else. Not gas station bananas.
Okay. I mean, we can't.
Sure. I mean, if you're not ready.
No, I have time.
Okay. Do you want to? You feel comfortable to?
So you know how in St. Louis they do the thing where if the Cardinals score six runs, you get like 50 cent drinks at the gas station the next day?
Because six is a serious number.
So at our gas station, the one right next to the house, where they honor the promotion, I guess the manager there has gotten so horrified at the amount of soda being consumed by
Cardinals are doing great this year. By the way.
Yeah, I should preface: Cardinals score six runs like twice a day, so it's lots and lots and lots of cheap 72-ounce Mountain Dews being consumed by yours truly and all of my children.
Yeah.
So it's like the scene from Talladega Nights. Like they're all just fucking hopped up out of their minds on Mountain Dew. Anyway, I guess the manager at the gas station has realized what horrible things he has done to America's, you know, teeth and digestive systems. So now at our gas station, anytime you redeem the 60 cent drink, you get a free banana. I went in there the other day. They had a huge bushel of bananas and they're like, yeah, 60 cent drink. Okay. Take a banana with you.
Offset the lack of health that you're having from a big soda.
I think it's the cheapest healthy thing you can give somebody. I can't think of anything cheaper that would be considered healthy and not like just immediately spill in the car. Right.
Now, are bananas particularly good for your teeth?
I don't know if they're good for the teeth. I think it's just something besides.
Okay, GPT.
Yeah.
Are bananas good for your teeth? ChatGPT says bananas are, and in italics it says mostly tooth friendly.
the other thought I had is maybe the guy running the gas station knows that with Cardinals scoring, you know, hundreds of runs every week, that America's teeth are gone. America's teeth are brown little stubs.
Midwest's teeth.
Absolutely, yeah. It is just Hanes. And with the passage of the big bill today, no one is going to get any medical coverage ever again.
No, and also especially that fluoride is coming out of the water.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I think he kind of realizes, you know what? What can all of you still eat when the teeth go away?
Ah, what's the softest healthy thing?
Apples? No, straight in the gutter. More soda? Maybe we'll consider it. Slurpees? Closer. What is like a Slurpee, but grows on a tree? And the answer is banana.
Would you like to hear ChatGPT's three best practices for eating bananas?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Number one, eat bananas as part of a meal, not alone as a snack.
Really? Why is that?
Oh, there are no details.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
These are just best practice bullets.
This is mass hallucination by ChatGPT here. Okay.
Number two, rinse your mouth with water afterward.
What about? Hear me out. What about Mountain Dew Code Red?
I think that's good. Yeah. Number three, don't brush immediately. Wait about 30 minutes to avoid damaging softened enamel.
What kind of bananas is ChatGPT chowing down on over there?
And then the final line here is, so bananas won't wreck your teeth, but they're not candy-free angels either. Oh man.
So that's is there a thumbs down reaction you give ChatGPT?
I've clicked it several times already. Yeah.
Was that helpful? No, that wasn't helpful. No, you claimed at one point that bananas might be too hard for your teeth. I'm gonna say that's also not helpful.
And they might contain candy. Yeah. I don't think this is gonna work for us. Oh boy. Well, how are your teeth doing?
Not good, obviously, because I'm not going to pass up a 60-cent drink, you know.
No, drinking a 60-cent drink, you're making money.
Yes, absolutely.
The calories you burn drinking that are more than 60 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. The work I can do, I can squeeze a lot more than 60 cents out of that energy. So
Absolutely. Well, that's good. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I should walk into a gas station here. I'll go to the nearest Sheetz and ask them if they would honor, in honor of the fact that I am from St. Louis, will they honor this promotion?
Sure. Listen, if the Nationals ever score more than two runs in a game, maybe then. Mm, but that's
not going to hold my breath.
I wouldn't.
Well, what else?
Anything not much. Else? Oh, I'm on vacation next week, so.
This is great. This is good. This is good timing.
Yeah. I know when you want me to tell you these things, but during the show seems like a good enough time.
I think 4 days before you leave is perfect for us to.
Is that right? Yeah, about four. Yeah, about four.
Okay.
Do you want to do two shows right now? We can.
Yeah, give me a second to research.
Do you want to call who's the who is our guest host that stretched the show into 2 weeks?
Megan.
Yeah. Give Megan a call.
Oh yeah. We could have Megan in.
This could easily turn into two episodes, maybe three.
It's a bit of a catch-22 because on the one hand, we can have two episodes and lose all our listeners, or keep all our listeners and only have one episode.
Boy, that sure sounds like a summer break to me.
No, it's sweeps time. It sweeps. I got to do better. Okay, well, that gives me something new to panic about. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gosh, I wonder what listeners... You know, and this is particularly good timing because last week... People who were not Ghost Plus members didn't get a new episode either, because that was just for Ghost Plus members.
All
so
right.
What you're telling me is we're you want to bookend this episode?
Not want to
with
need to.
Where are you going on vacation?
Yeah, like I'm telling you.
Do they have internet there? Can you take like an hour and a half out of your vacation and say, "Sorry, everybody, I have to leave the beach. I have to go record an episode of the podcast."
I could. Mm-hmm. I might. Yeah. I'll be in the Eastern time zone. So I'll be caught up.
Oh my gosh,
with you.
That's great.
You know what? Fuck it, let's do it.
You're not going to do that.
I'll do it.
You going to bring your microphone?
Oh shit. No, what about I'll call you from my phone.
Okay, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Sacrifice quality. You can have quality or you can have content. You can't have both.
Exactly. After 195 episodes or whatever, I think you know what we've chosen. So
that's right. Okay, well, this is a conversation for, I guess, off air. Oh, boy. All right. Well, then I guess we should get into the show so we have enough time at the end to figure out an emergency plan. Do you want to hear a ghost story?
Yes. He walked out the door and he gave him the knob whacking of his life. Love it.
It's the most uncomfortable one. Samuel Alexander Mudd was born.
I mean, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't even let you get to the year. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You want to guess the year?
Someone whose name is Samuel Mudd. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go with 1835.
Holy shit, 1833. That's very
I'm like
good.
A professional on this show now. Anyway.
You have been paying attention.
This ties in perfectly. To my next point, which is in these days, you know, you get to choose your name, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can be whatever you want to be.
Rob McElhenney just petitioned to change his name from Rob McElhenney to Rob Mac.
What?
Yeah.
The Wrexham? The Wrexham guy?
Always,
the Bennett,
yeah,
like Wrexham guy?
Philadelphia and, yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Rob Mac. Okay.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
I mean, he can certainly change whatever he wants.
Yeah, he's got the money for that.
I'm sure Danny DeVito's not using his real name, whatever that
is. No, his real name is something like Richard Squamous or something.
Richard Turd. I don't think this is going to work real well. What about Danny? Danny Turd. We'll go with that for a few years. No, well, not even though.
At the end of his career, when he did Always Sunny, that Richard Turd would actually be a pretty good name for that, an actor with that character. Anyway, so Samuel Mudd, born December 20th, 1833, in Charles County, Maryland. He's the fourth of 10 children. His father, Henry Mudd, had a large tobacco plantation in Oak Hill, Maryland, which is where he grew up.
Mudd has to be... I'm sorry, I can't get over this. Mudd has to be a word that's always been a negative connotation, right? Like that... Mudd isn't like a modern word.
Mudd is good. Mudd is good.
Mudd is good?
Mudd is good.
I don't think mud's good.
That's where things grow.
I'm talking about... Well, yeah, but no, that's
bacteria
like...
and stuff.
Earth. That's where... The earth, you know. Terra firma. That's where things grow. Mudd, that's like... That's sloppy and sturdy and...
But this is mud with two D's.
Even then. I think even
mudded.
Then.
Mudded.
That's old English spelling of mud. I don't know. I don't see a time whenever mud had a positive connotation.
There was one of the notes that I read here was that this story, this about Samuel Mudd, may be where the term "your name is Mudd" comes from. But it turns out to be not true because let's see, it originates from a British slang term where this is a quote. A mud is a term for a, quote, stupid twaddling fellow.
This has turned into a bit of a chicken the egg scenario here. So I'm not sure who got named after who.
Now, this is a twaddling fellow if I've ever seen one, so we'll get into it. Anyway, so the mud ranch, or whatever they call it, is this big tobacco plantation. In Maryland, they have 89 slaves working on hundreds of acres.
Mm-hmm.
Plantation's about 20 miles southeast of D.C.
Okay.
So this is like as south of, far south of Maryland as you can get. Because Maryland has like dogtails down a little bit.
Sure, yeah. So you're almost out to the sea at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're the stalwart between Virginia and the ocean. So his mother homeschooled the children when they were young. And at age 15, Samuel Mudd goes off to boarding school at St. John's Literary Institute.
Oh, wow. Tobacco money buys some education.
Still exists today, by the way, as St. John's Catholic Prep School
in
Frederick, Maryland. So he goes there for a couple of years. 2 years later, he enrolls at Georgetown in D.C.
Wow.
And then he goes on to study medicine at the University of Maryland, where he writes his thesis on dysentery.
Oh, okay.
Which you may know better as the Bloody Flux. Terrible name for a condition.
Also known as, I don't care what it's called, please put my insides back in.
AKA, why am I all wet on the outside now? After graduating from med school, he went home. He goes home. He marries his childhood sweetheart, a woman named Sarah Frances Dyer.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone calls her Frankie. So Mudd and Frankie, they get married. And Mudd's father gives the happy couple 218 acres of his best farmland as a wedding present.
Woo! The best.
What did your parents get you for your wedding?
I don't know.
How many? Let me reword the question.
Yeah.
How many acres of land did your parents give you for
your wedding? Oh, almost none. Almost none. No. I did get some Mudd, though, which was convenient.
Mm-hmm. They also gave him a new house on that land. They built him a new house.
Ooh.
And if it gives you any idea about how big the house was called St. Catherine.
Ah, okay. So it wasn't like a mud hut or anything?
No. Well, ironically named Mud Hut. So Mudd is practicing medicine, and he needs to supplement this because doctors, they're not getting paid. They don't get paid shit. You know.
Oh, it's back in doctors. These days. Yeah.
I guess. So to supplement his income, he starts in as a small-scale tobacco grower, and he uses 5 slaves.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Mudd had an interesting view on slavery. He thought it was divinely ordained.
Oh.
God wants you to have slaves.
Patrick. I must not have read the whole book. I guess. I must have.
Yeah, you got to get all the way to the end.
Yeah. or stop halfway through. One of the two.
I think if you stop in the first book, that's going to do it for you. So that was his opinion. And so he wanted more slaves, but it was just, that was excessive for his little plot of land. But, you know, God wants him to have him, which is why he's really upset when the Civil War creeps up in 1861. Mm. Especially since the state of Maryland was part of the North.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they abolished slavery. Now this of course leads to the collapse of like all Southern industry.
Right. Right? Yes.
It's all slave. It's all building back to slaves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Southern Maryland is very Southern.
Okay. Oh, it's one of these states. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
End of the type.
It's, like, it's a Missouri of the Mid-Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people are upset. Mudd is very angry. And what's more, in 1863, the Union Army sets up a camp called Camp Stanton, just 10 miles from his property, the purpose of which was to enlist black freemen and runaway slaves into the army.
Oh, good idea.
Hey, I know you just got here.
Yeah.
How would you like the chance to turn around and go murder the fuck out of those guys? sign me up.
We will give you a gun that kind of works, a bullet, and this bag of magic powder.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Don't put it near a fire. So there were 6 regiments at that camp trained there, totaling over 8,700 black soldiers.
Phew.
So for Mudd, this is very upsetting. He doesn't like this.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got his tobacco farm is failing because his slaves are freed, and he's not gonna work. He's not gonna do this.
Yeah,
that's insane. He's a doctor. He needs those hands. he's got all these soldiers nearby who he thinks should just be growing tobacco for him and not being soldiers. So he's upset. He starts thinking that maybe he has to sell the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll just rely on doctoring to get by.
Okay, yeah. A little fallback.
Yeah, he's going to slum it a little bit.
Medicine.
Yeah. And while he's pondering whether or not to sell his farm, he meets a young man who's interested in potentially buying the property.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 26-year-old actor whose name is John Wilkes Booth.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
The same John Wilkes Booth?
It would be an incredible coincidence. No, I'm sorry. The other 26-year-old actor named John Wilkes Booth living near D.C. yes, the one you've heard about.
Hmm.
Now, we've talked about Booth on this podcast before. Obviously, we talked about the infamous Lincoln episode.
Yeah, I mean, he had a guest spot a couple weeks ago as well, I believe.
He did have a guest spot. So, if you want to hear about the ghost, he was on our show.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was really surprised I didn't get cut, quite frankly. But
Jeremy seemed to think there was some merit there. I don't know why. we also talked about him on episode 100, which was a centennial version of Two Haunts and a Flaunt.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the plot to kill Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you haven't heard that, go back. It's worth it. Anyway, so you want a primer, you could do that. But obviously, spoiler alert, Booth does end up eventually murdering Abraham Lincoln, who at the time, I think, at the assassination was, in fact, fully clothed at Ford's Theater on April 14th, 1865. After he shot Lincoln, Booth is like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
And so he leaps from the presidential box, and he smashes onto the house floor of the theater below. And when he does that, he breaks his left fibula.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it breaks his leg.
That's the one in the back, in the bottom of the leg, in the back.
Is that right?
That's your fibula. Yep, femurs.
You're thinking of the calf muscle.
Right. No, I'm thinking of the bones in there.
No,
there's two bones.
There are no back bones in the leg.
There's one in the back. Just a wee one.
No, I'm sorry. I had to interrupt here.
Uh-huh, yeah.
The leg has one bone
right.
from top to bottom. It's
right.
a flexible one.
Oh, like a pipe cleaner.
Yes.
Okay. I'm saying there's another pipe cleaner in the back. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's called the spine.
You know what? Agree to disagree.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll ask a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Oh, wait, there's a doctor in our story. How convenient.
He says. So Booth needs a doctor. He broke his leg and he has to get to a doctor. Now he and his assassination squad, they ride down to a doctor that he knows because he was just talking to one about buying some property.
Mm.
He's like, hey man, why don't we go to Samuel Mudd's house? So they do. They drive to Samuel Mudd's house. They arrive around 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And they say, help. John is injured. Please help. Can you help him? And Mudd says, yes, I can. Please bring him inside. So he splints Booth's leg and gives him a shoe to wear. Mm-hmm. Because his boot is no longer fitting because his foot is swollen.
Right. Yes.
So they cut his boot off. But he gives him a better shoe, a bigger shoe to wear. Because John had small feet, I guess, famously. So after swollen, even a regular man's shoe was plenty big. Mudd also wakes up a local carpenter and has him make a pair of crutches.
Man, these guys are going to feel so stupid at about 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, one of them is.
Hey, can I ask? It is a little weird that you're here at 4 a.m. Like, yep. And you've got a lot of people here, and they're all sweating. Yep. Is everything okay? How'd you break this leg?
I'm hearing a lot of horses in the distance, too, and that seems to be getting louder. So,
John Wilkes Booth and his friends were at Mudd's house for between 12 and 15 hours. Mm-hmm. They sleep in the front bedroom on the second floor. And the next morning, Mudd goes into town. The nearest town is Bryantown. He's going to run some errands. And people in town are all abuzz with this news that Abraham Lincoln has been assassinated. Whew. And Mudd says, oh, I should get back to the house. So he goes back to the house and he goes in and he says, hey, John Wilkes Booth, I think maybe you guys should leave.
Oh, he thinks they may have killed the president.
He thinks it's possible.
Okay. Yeah. When the playbill fell out of your pocket, I thought to myself, something's not right here.
Yeah, but how was my cousin whatever? What's it called? What was the show? I'm so tempted to say Cousin Vinny.
My American cousin or something
like that? How was my American cousin?
Yeah.
And so now there are a lot of theories about whether or not Mudd knew the full extent of what had transpired. Mm-hmm. Most people are pretty sure that he actually did know what was up and that he probably was actually in on the scheme.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you don't really go from, you know, slaves are my divine right to accidentally stitching back up Abraham Lincoln's assassin.
that's quite a leap. We think it because, a couple weeks before the assassination, Booth sent a whole bunch of liquor and getaway supplies to Mudd's house and was like, will you hold on to these for me? So there's a lot of circumstantial evidence suggesting that Mudd probably, he probably knew about the whole thing. But if you remember from episode 100, way back when, the original plan was not to kill Lincoln.
Right.
You remember the original plan?
It was, no, I don't.
Although you pretended like you were going to try to think about it. It was actually to get him to open this door made of coquina that had perfect balance.
I remember this. With one finger, you could open up the door. With
one finger. And they're like, but only wild. Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
if he's naked. Mm. Then and only then can he open the coquina door. No. So if you remember from episode 100, the original plan was to kidnap Lincoln and like three other people.
Right.
Like the vice president and secretary of state or whatever.
Yeah. And then John Wilkes Booth shows up and he's like, oh, Abraham Lincoln is 7 feet tall and 500 pounds.
He's kind of scary. I'm glad I brought this gun.
He doesn't fit on the horse. What do I do?
Okay, I listened to an episode of Is This a Ghost? It's an old one, but I think if I kill him, I could put him in some soup and boil him for 3 days. And then I can take his bones and put him in a box and ride him across the country. Let's try it. So the last, like an hour before the whole thing starts, Booth is like, oh, by the way, we're going to kill everybody. So it's probable that Mudd was in on the plan, but it's also probable he didn't know that the plan was to kill the president.
Right.
Not that like kidnapping the president is an okay plan to be a part of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know where he thinks that plan goes at any point.
I don't know. I don't know what step two was of that plan because it's not going to go well for you at that point. Anyway, so Mudd, so he's part of it somehow. At any rate, he tells Booth to leave. And then the other thing that was a little suspicious is after he tells Booth to leave, he does not alert the authorities that the president's assassin had been crashing on his couch. He waits until the next day, which would be 2 days after the assassination. Mm-hmm. And then when he goes to church, because now it's Easter Sunday, so he's got to go to church. Mm-hmm. And he goes to church, he asks his second cousin if he will notify the cavalry that Booth was at his house.
Man, what a brave soul. What a what a true patriot. Uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he does. The cousin does. Mm. And when the authorities hear this, they're like, wait, why didn't you tell anybody? It's been a while now. Mudd says he didn't tell them because he was too afraid to leave his family alone in case the assassins came back. Which is obviously a lie because he was in town with the assassins. So it doesn't hold water. He also lies to the cavalry about the number of times he met with Booth leading up to the assassination, mm-hmm. which is apparently several times in several different locations. And he was also, in the episode 100, we talked about them meeting at, the woman, what's her name? It's her house that she was like the frat mom who would cook them all their meals mm-hmm. and stuff while they plotted to kill the president. He was at some of those meetings and he didn't tell them about this at first. And they find out and they're like, so you're part of this, right?
Yeah.
So on April 21st, they decide they're going to arrest Mudd mm-hmm. because he has to be wrapped up in this whole thing.
Yes.
They go to his house to arrest him. And when Mudd sees them coming, he tells Frankie, hey, go upstairs and get the boot. And so she goes upstairs and she comes back down holding his boot. Mm. And it's John Wilkes Booth's boot. Mm. And Mudd gives it to the lieutenant who's there to arrest him. Mm. And Mudd is like, look, I cut this off Booth's leg. He was really, I was just doing a doctor thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Here's proof. It's his boot.
Yeah. I call it John Wilkes boot. You want it?
it's right there. It's don't you think that's fun? Lieutenant's like, kind of is. Yeah. They look inside the boot and it has Booth's name written in it. And actually the boot only has J. Wilkes written in it.
Well, yeah.
It makes sense. You wouldn't want to say, yeah. Yeah. J. Wilkes. Boot. So the lieutenant's like, somehow the lieutenant sees this and it's like, wow, he's being so forthright about this. Maybe he's not involved. Maybe this was just like a doctor in the wrong place at the wrong time.
He keeps producing evidence he'd been withholding from us the whole time. He's got to be on the level.
This is like when Mike, what's his name, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson is like, well, you know, other presidents, they lie about stuff they don't tell you. Donald Trump does legal things out in the open. That makes it okay. What are you talking about? Lunatic. So he's like, yeah, I guess here it is. Maybe he's not involved. So instead of arresting him, they leave. And then...
or is it one of these things where, oh, here's John Wilkes Booth's boot. And he looks inside and there's like $17 in it. Oh! I think we'll be on our way. Okay.
John Wilkes Booth's boot booty is what we call that. And so they end up arresting... Oh, sorry. 5 days later, Booth is cornered and killed in a barn. Rather famously. And then after that, the same day, they end up arresting the whole group of conspirators, including Samuel Mudd.
Oh, man. $17 down the drain.
What am I paying for you? This sucks. So Mary Surratt, Lewis Powell, George Azarot, David Harold, Michael O'Loughlin, Edmund Spangler, Samuel Arnold, and our pal Sam Mudd, all arrested for conspiracy to murder the president. And they're all charged. Mm-hmm. Now, Mudd's lawyer... I think is only Mudd's lawyer. I don't think he's a lawyer for anyone else in this. And he's like, my client is a good man. He would never kill the president. He was pro-union. Mm-hmm. And he was always very kind to his slaves.
Pro-union, but also pro-slave. So
but kind to them. But right. Kind, mm-hmm. Yes. Now, this held water for about 30 seconds until a witness came up and testified that he had seen Mudd shoot one of his slaves in the leg for fun and had threatened to send the rest of his slaves to Richmond to work for the Confederacy, rebuilding some of the buildings during the war.
Doesn't sound nice.
No, that doesn't sound nice at all. Other witnesses said that Mudd was part of a group who helped round up runaway slaves and send them back to the South. And some of his own former slaves testified that he had said on several occasions that Lincoln ought to be shot.
uh, But during a production of Music Man. Something lively.
We got trouble here in Washington, D.C. So he's found guilty against all odds. I think maybe you're guilty here. Now, they're all found guilty. Everyone tried that was found guilty. Several of them were hanged. Most of them were hanged. But Mudd just barely escaped execution by one vote.
Ooh.
There's one person who's like, he did it. He's certain, he's guilty, but he's not. He's not as guilty.
Mm-hmm. He did. He didn't give them the boot, so he didn't have to do that.
That's right. That's right. He was sentenced to life instead of execution, and he is transported to Fort Jefferson in the Dry Tortugas.
Ooh.
You know where the Dry Tortugas are?
I don't. It sounds like an island.
It is an island.
Okay. The Dry
Tortugas. I think it's a national park.
Okay. Tortuga. I'm going to say off the coast of Florida is my guess.
It is the furthest western key of Florida.
Uh-huh.
The pictures are gorgeous.
I don't know about it. Yeah. It seems
the prison is there, but if you look at the water is so pretty. Let's look.
Do you get to see the water from the prison? Now,
if
they send you down there, if they send you down there and do two things, number one, they don't let you get visual access to the beauty around you. And number two, they put you inside of a completely air still prison in Florida. Boy, I'd be praying for death.
That's true. The only thing I can smell is salt.
Yeah.
I know it's there. I know it's there.
I smell salt, sunscreen, and cigarettes. And that's it. That's Florida right there.
This is the whole thing.
There's no way you get to see the water from there. No way on earth.
There's look at these windows.
It's beautiful.
There's windows all around there.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm saying. If you are on, if you hang out on this beach, that's a vacation.
Absolutely. Yes.
Anywhere else is not as good.
Yeah. For the home listeners, it's a prison yard in the shape of a hexagon. And literally the hexagon sticks out into the sea. It is
the entire island is hexagon.
Yes, and the center appears to be the yard for the prison.
It's huge.
Yeah, but with high, 3-4 story tall walls, creating all six sides of the hexagon. There's no way.
Is this a moat?
That could be a moat. Could be astroturf.
It's like a bridge across a moat. It's definitely either a moat or astroturf.
I think it is a moat because if you look at it on the ocean side, it's blue. Yeah. That is a moat. Yeah.
Man. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Very, very
clever. Yeah, I mean, a moat, I feel like a moat is a little superfluous at this point because...
you are in the middle of the ocean.
If you go 8 feet beyond the moat, you're in the fucking ocean.
this seems like this is maybe the plans for prison in a different part of the country, and they're like, fuck it, we're just going to redo it here. It worked.
The only place we can do this, the only place we can afford right now is this tiny island.
It worked fine in Baton Rouge. It'll work fine in the Keys.
Maybe this is like a breaker wall.
And could be.
You know what?
Yeah.
Let's do it all the way around for aesthetics.
the kit comes with 6 copies of it. So what are we going to do?
And now we have a lazy river. So Mudd is sentenced to life at Dry Tortugas, which, you're conspiring to kill a president and you get to spend the rest of your life on vacay. I'm not advocating. Certainly, but there are. It feels like a crazy place to put someone who tried to assassinate a president and succeeded. Anyway, so he's there on September 25th of that same year. Mudd attempts to escape.
I would love to hear the details of this.
He's there for 2 months, and he tries to escape by boarding a transport ship. He's quickly discovered. And after he's discovered, they're like, I can't believe you. I can't believe you would do that. We trusted you.
What else do you want from this prison? Exactly.
So they place him, and he was with a few other folks. They place him and all of them in a large, empty, ground level gun room that was referred to as the dungeon.
Oh.
I'm guessing it's a gun room that's empty. I should note that. There's no guns in the gun room. My guess is it probably floods a lot.
Okay.
It's ground level at ocean level.
Yeah.
So they probably had to move the guns out of the gun room. And now you've got this wet, awful empty room where your feet get wet and stinky.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Sounds like a dungeon to me.
He was let out of the dungeon only to work, but he had to wear leg irons when he left.
Mm.
So it's some punishment. But in December, 2.5 months later, his wife Frankie writes a letter to President Johnson asking if he can be moved to a better room. And Andrew Johnson grants that request.
And I'm going to do whatever the opposite of the last guy did. I said someone's a better room at the prison. Well, he'll get a better room at the prison, I guess.
Ask, you shall receive. So Mudd goes back to Gen Pop. And in 1867, there's an outbreak of yellow fever in the prison.
Uh-oh.
Now, there's nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone is fucked.
And he's probably like, my God, why couldn't it be dysentery? I know what to do with dysentery.
The prison doctor catches yellow fever and dies.
Ooh, that's not good.
No, it's not what you want. And Mudd says, hey, I have an idea. What if I'm the doctor now? And they say, well, you know about yellow
look
fever?
Look at me. Look like, at me. Mm. I'm the doctor now.
I am the doctor now. And so they let him do it. They're like, yeah, no one else is going to do it. So sure, great, man. Please, will you please save us? Because we're all going to die. And apparently he was quite successful, and he was able to stem the spread of the fever at the prison. So then the soldiers are so grateful to Mudd that he saved their lives. They write a letter to President Johnson. And they say, we think you should pardon Mudd.
Oh.
Because he was so helpful. Mm-hmm. And on February 8th, 1869, Andrew Johnson pardons Samuel Mudd. He's a real pushover.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, there's only a handful of things you can do in a country worse than killing the president of the country.
It's, you know, pretty high on the list.
Yeah, like, we came up with, like, a specific name just for it.
And it has the word ass in it.
Mm-hmm.
Twice. So I don't know how much more we can signal to you that this is a serious one. So he does. He does indeed pardon Samuel Mudd. So Mudd moves back home.
Hmm.
And he lives his life in Southern Maryland. He becomes very interested in politics. In 1876, he is elected vice president of the local presidential election committee.
Okay.
Now his candidate loses that year.
Oh, that's a shame.
But then Mudd goes on to run for the Maryland House of Delegates. He does not win. He loses in a landslide. Mm. I don't think people really are on board with letting him anywhere near the public sector.
He's a little ahead of his time. Like nowadays, okay. Nowadays this dude would be a front runner for the presidential seat.
This guy would
you.
Just, yep, sure would be. So, he doesn't win. Now, before he was arrested, Mudd and Frankie, they'd had 4 children. After he gets back, they have 5 more.
Isn't he gone for he's gone for a while. He's gone for like 4 years, 5 years, something like that.
When was he? He was gone for
pardon in 69. Years. I imagine he got.
When was Lincoln killed?
65.
Yeah. So he's, like 3, 4 years, 4 years.
Okay.
3.5 years. Can I make up for lost time?
I was going to say, yeah.
If boom, ba boom, ba boom.
Yeah. I was away for 4 years. I'd probably have 5 kids that day.
So they have 9 kids total now. Because they got the tobacco plant is still there. It's not going to farm itself, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah. we used to have 5 slaves that could run this. How can I do that?
Well, if each one is worth 2/3 of a person, let me do the math real quick. Wow, we're going to need 9 people. All right. Well, so let's see. This goes well until 1880 when the barn, which at the time held 8,000 pounds of tobacco, 2 horses, a wagon, and all the farming equipment was destroyed by fire.
Oh, I bet that smelled gross.
Yeah, it was terrible. But everyone was feeling pretty jonesing after it. Yeah. Shaking a little bit. On January 10th of 1883, Mudd catches pneumonia, and he dies at the age of 49.
Mm.
Here's a pretty fun fact.
Wham!
Mudd's life was the subject of a 1936 film called The Prisoner of Shark Island, which is a cool fucking name for a flick.
I don't think I'd be begging for the pardon if I was stationed on Shark Island.
No, I would want to be the king of Shark Island. The movie was directed by John Ford. Famous director. Stagecoach, The Searchers, and The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Mm-hmm. Brother, you haven't seen any of those movies? You go check them out right now, because, boy.
Big John Ford fan. Big John Ford fan.
He's great. Let's see. So anyway, so Sam Mudd's house. Oh, it's haunted. That's why we're talking about it. His house is haunted. It's currently a museum, and you can go there and check it out. And the bed that John Wilkes Booth slept in is still there in the house.
Oh.
And according to tour guides, no matter how tightly the sheets on that bed are tucked in the evening, an impression of a human body can always be seen in the bed the next morning, which measures the same length as Johnny Booth himself.
Hmm. Wow.
There is a mysterious light that floats around the house. That'll float into the yard. It'll follow the fence line and go into the barn. And we think that's Samuel Mudd.
Then it lights the barn on fire. And
This is the first noticed by Mudd's children and grandchildren after he had died. And neighbors at the time corroborated the story. And actually, there are a lot of historical written accounts of that light. One of the neighbors wrote in a letter that they were passing by the cemetery where Mudd was buried one evening when a light rose up from the graveyard and floated down into their carriage. And it zoomed around inside the carriage for a while until they passed the Mudd house, at which point the light left the carriage and went sailing up into the barn.
Is it possible these people are encountering lightning bugs? That's a question I have, because...
Which side of the Rockies are we on? Yeah, I guess it's possible.
I mean, like, these are people that didn't support germ theory. They might be too dumb to realize, you know, what lightning bugs are. Yeah. Like, oh, the spirit of John meets us again. Oh, and there he is. Oh, he's gone. Oh, he's back again. Here he is.
Oh, no, I smushed the spirit of John on my hand. He's smeared all over my palm.
Have you ever hit the spirit of John with a wiffle ball bat? It's so funny to see.
I have 7 spirits of John in this jar. They're dying. In the 1960s, Louise Mudd Earhart, she's Samuel Mudd's granddaughter, she lived quite a ways away from the house. I think she lived a couple states over. I think she's in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. But one night she heard the sound of someone going up a set of stairs in her house.
Mm.
This was surprising to her because she didn't have any stairs in her house. So she did flag that as strange. And then she started hearing that sound every night. So she tells her husband, and he's like, are you crazy? Like, we don't have stairs. But then he hears it too, and it's the creaking of stairs and like the clomping. She's going upstairs, and he hears it, and he starts hearing it every night. They hear it every night after that. There was also loud knockings at their front door, would start up around this time. When they open, no one's there. Classic hilarious ding dong ditch. But it became so frequent, they started spending their evenings like close to the door. They would set up chairs at the door. So they could open it right away, and there was no one ever there. And then one night, when Louise heard the sound of the person going up the stairs, she turned around and she actually saw the ghost. He was wearing black pants, a black vest, a white shirt with the sleeves rolled up to the elbows, a black bow tie that was untied, and he vanished as he walked up the air into the ceiling.
Hmm.
And Louise knew who it was from photographs. It's Grandpa Samuel.
Wow.
So he starts appearing more and more often at her house in West Virginia. And finally, after like a few weeks of actual appearances, he speaks to her. The ghost speaks to her. And he tells her, you have to save my house. And so Louise is like, what the fuck? This is weird. So Louise travels, and this is the 70s. Louise travels all the way to the Mudd House in Maryland. Her brother is living there, and she tells him everything that's happened. And her brother says, that's too bad because I have to sell the house. I can't afford it anymore.
Oh, okay.
And Louise says, Dad doesn't want you to. Now, why Dad didn't, or Grandpa doesn't want you to. Why Grandpa didn't appear to her brother? I don't know.
Maybe he did, and he's been ignoring it the whole time. Like, yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try and scrape the money together. You don't have any money, though, right? Ghost Grandpa? No? You don't?
Pretty helpful. Pretty helpful, Ghost Grandpa. Thank you. Hey, did you kill the president? Because, I don't
know. You didn't, like, really inclined to. You didn't kill the president for free, right? Like, there might be some money laying around here. No?
Got to be something. Buried somewhere, maybe?
Man, you know what would be really valuable right now would be John Wilkes Booth's boot. That would be very valuable right now. And yet.
And yet. So the sister, so she convinces her brother to, well, I'd say like they create a nonprofit or they give it to a nonprofit. I lost a little interest in the story at this point.
I'm very curious in the nonprofit based around Abraham Lincoln's assassin.
This is the group. Well, to be fair, it's Abraham Lincoln's assassin's doctor.
Nope.
So they make it a museum, and I'm guessing the big selling point is John Wilkes Booth slept in this bed the night he murdered the president.
Oh, sure. You know, like people follow like the, you know, where the Beatles first tour of the U.S. went through every hotel they stayed at. Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Imagine some sort of, you know, assassin tour you can go on through that area.
Oh, I'm sure there's an assassin tour you can go on. This is Squeaky Frome's chair. Mm-hmm. Look how little. She was so cute.
Now we're all going to jump from the balcony. We're going to see who can break their fibula. Let's all go together, team.
Is that a spine? No, it's a calf. Let's make it a museum. And that way they'll preserve it. And that's what they do. So again, I don't know the details about if they did it or someone else did it, whatever. But it's a museum now. And once they officially made it a museum, the ghost of Samuel Mudd stopped appearing to his granddaughter.
Hmm.
And everyone is happy. Though he does show up at the house still. Not her house, at his house.
Okay.
To celebrate, I guess, the legacy of a jackass slave owner who helped plot the assassination of a U.S. president. That's great. Any questions?
No. This is not a lot of good guys in this one. Not a lot of people to cheer for.
No heroes.
Yeah. Not really.
No. You didn't make a single joke about Naked Abe.
You know,
the masses are going to want it. You didn't do it.
I wanted to be tasteful. I mean, he doesn't make it out of this episode, right? So
name one episode that he has made it out alive this show. All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us this week because we're going to have to figure out a plan for you're going on vacation in 4 days. So I guess we'll wrap up by saying that this has been Is This a Ghost? All the notes this week are taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes are from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. She also does our website. I don't ever give her credit for that. Jen does our website as well, which is super helpful.
Great website. Thanks, Jen. Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. It's my great homepage. I open up the computer. Boom. Right to the homepage. Every day.
I don't know. Oh, so you're the one.
Yeah.
I'm the one visitor. I'm like, wow, I'm the one hit.
6:45 a.m. every day.
That's great.
That's me.
That's great. Happy to have you. Let's see. Where are we here? Who else? We have social media team.
Sorry.
Kai Valonis. You know I can't do this if I'm not on a roll. Jennifer Jones and Sam Murdoch. We have our merch is designed by Fox and Quill Studio. Go follow them at Fox and Quill Studio on Instagram. Also, go check out merch. There is new merch. I thought maybe it wasn't up yet. There is merch up. There's new merch up that I don't check the website as we've established a couple weeks ago. So there is, and go check it out. It's really fun. There's one with the ghost host, and it says, "Do you want to hear a ghost story?" And I think that's a really sweet one that everyone should own. Actually, I think you should own three pairs of that shirt.
Yes.
Three pairs?
Three shirt pairs. Yes.
Six pairs shirts, everyone. Shirts. Go get six shirts. Well, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week, probably. Maybe. Absolutely. Maybe not.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. All right. I'm not feeling great about it, but whenever we're back, between now and then, make sure you don't
visit Shark Island. Don't visit Shark Island. Thank you. Just please don't.
And if you do, two things will happen. One, you better become king of that fucking island. And number two, you're probably going to end up on next week's episode of Is This a Ghost?